Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Well, Francis, welcome back to Life Study.
Thank you for inviting me back. I enjoy being here.
Francis, the program today is going to begin with a brief review by Witness Lee of some of the points we've been covering in our recent broadcasts. Then we're going to launch into an examination of this marvelous phrase that appears at least 4 times in Hebrews. In the Recovery Version, which is the version that we use primarily on this broadcast, this phrase is translated as come forward. It's really one Greek word, but it takes the 2 words come forward to really capture the essence of it, and it's a call from God to his people. I believe in the King James this word is translated as approach to, but that doesn't quite convey the compelling nature of it. Francis, what are these 4 references in the book of Hebrews that we're going to focus on today?
Well, this term come forward is a translation that's unique in some respects to the Recovery Version. And those references that you ask about, first of all, is in chapter 4, verse 16. There it says, "Let us therefore come forward with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help." Then, to quote chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "Hence also he is able to save to the uttermost those who come forward to God through him, since he lives always to intercede for them." Also in chapter 10, verse 22, there's a reference like this. It says, "Let us come forward to the Holy of Holies with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." And 11:6, a verse that's known by many Christians, "But without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him, for he who comes forward to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." There's one other reference that I'm not sure is intended in this, but I think it really is important to us, and that's chapter 12. Let me do 22 to 24. It'll be more meaningful. "But you have come forward to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the universal gathering, and to the church of the firstborn who have been enrolled in the heavens, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men who have been made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks something better than that of Abel." Even though you ask for the 4 references, this last reference is also quite important and also uses the term coming forward to something very heavenly.
Francis, I'm glad you took the liberty to insert a 5th reference. That certainly was a very appropriate one for our life study today. Now let's get to this marvelous life study from 1976. Here's Witness Lee.
Today, the Word of God that has come into our hand is no more just a word, even no more just a promise, even no more just the covenant. We have to say hallelujah. What is in our hand is a will.
Amen.
What a difference. We don't read a word of promise. We read a word of the will.
Amen.
Day by day, we shouldn't read the Bible as some promises, even as a covenant that is not adequate. We have to realize what we are reading day by day is a will.
Amen.
A will has not only everything promised, everything accomplished, but everything bequeathed.
Yeah.
not only everything promised, not even everything accomplished, but everything bequeathed.
Amen.
Promised, maybe not accomplished. Accomplished, maybe not given to you. But bequeathed.
Amen.
What can you say?
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
This is mine. Because you have bequeathed all the things the Father promised and you have accomplished.
Amen.
Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
Not only so, he is executing what he has bequeathed.
Amen.
Today he is not only the giver, but also the executor.
Amen.
Executing what he has bequeathed.
Amen.
Don't forget, the executor today is the living model. He is living in resurrection.
Amen.
Plus exaltation.
Amen.
He's living there to execute what he has accomplished and bequeathed.
Amen.
So what should we do? Just thank him all the day long.
Amen.
Thank him all the day long.
Amen.
I just assure you, brothers and sisters, if you would thank him all the day long, you would open up yourself as an open gate for him to come in to execute everything he has bequeathed. Then a mass production will be here for God's corporate expression. For God's corporate expression. This is what we have to see. This is a heavenly vision.
Amen.
Praise him.
Francis, this was an enjoyable and very encouraging review of one of the key points in Hebrews. Can we really experience these bequeathed items, these bequests, by practicing this kind of thanksgiving?
Well, Chris, to this I have to say a strong yes. Because when we thank God for what he has promised, and also thank him for what he's accomplished, and all that he promised and all he accomplished now has been given to us as a will. In other words, he has bequeathed everything that he has accomplished, everything that he is. All of this has been bequeathed to us. And when we give thanks to him, we open up our spirit. And when our spirit is open, we enjoy all these items of his bequest. They've all been ours. They are now in our spirit. And when we exercise our spirit, we enjoy all that he's bequeathed to us. That's much more than just having your sins forgiven.
It's a principle that I think if we put God to the test and put his word to the test, we will not be disappointed. I think he really waits for his children to come to him with this kind of view of appropriating these marvelous things he's accomplished on our behalf.
I believe so.
Let's go back to more of Witness Lee sharing, Francis.
Now, we come to a very sober message. For this message, we all have to be sober. Why? Because this whole message is the warning. Chapter 7, 8, 9, and the first half of 10. These 3.5 chapters are really more than exciting. But after all, the letter presented us a warning. Turn to your recovery version. Here it says clearly the warning is the fourth warning us to come forward to the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
And do not shrink back to Judaism. In chapter 9, we have seen two tabernacles symbolizing two covenants and also signifying two ages, two tabernacles, two covenants, two ages. And we have seen so clearly that there is a real danger for us not to go into the second, but to somewhat stay to the first tabernacle, the first covenant, and the first age. We have to go on from the first tabernacle to enter into the second, from the first covenant to go on to the second, from the first age to get into the second age or dispensation. We have to go on to the Holy of Holies. We have to enter into the new covenant, and we have to live and stay in the new age. The writer, after presenting a full and thorough picture of these two things, he was very much concerned that the Hebrew believers would not go on. So he gave them the warning, if after seeing all these things, if you wouldn't go on, there is a risk, there is a danger, you will shrink back. So he said to them, come forward from where you are staggering. If you don't do this, there is a danger that you will shrink back. Come forward is in contrast with shrink back. To shrink back is terrible. It's an awful thing. So this is a sober warning. We have to see this warning in a sober way. First of all, I'd like to let you know this phrase, come forward. In Greek, the Greek word was one word, not a phrase. This word is specially used in this book. Four times for three things. The first time in chapter 4, verse 16. Come forward to the throne of grace. Here in chapter 10, verse 22, come forward to the Holy of Holies and come forward to God. Amen. 7:25, 11:6, both say, come forward to God. In the New Covenant age, you have a scene, a view, a sight that God is on the throne of grace. And the throne of grace is in the Holy of Holies. This is the view, the sight, the scene of today's New Covenant age. Regardless where you are or where you were, we all have to come forward to this. Come forward to this God. Come forward to this throne. Come forward to this Holy of Holies. When you would do this, it means you come forward to the new age. You come forward to the new economy, to the new dispensation, to the new administration, for God to fulfill His purpose.
Francis, the call to come forward that we talked about earlier, as you pointed out, is used several times in Hebrews. It's a strong call that also carries a warning attached to it if we fail to heed it. Francis, what are we to come forward to?
Well, according to these verses and according to the message thus far, we come forward to the throne of grace, and we come forward to the Holy of Holies. We come forward to God, and we even come forward to, I would say, a new age. I believe this is brought out also in this message, that we're not coming forward just to heaven or something like that. We're coming forward to many, many riches that are new and that are leaving the old things behind, leaving the old covenant and coming to the second covenant, leaving the old tabernacle and coming to the new tabernacle, leaving the old Holy of Holies, which was in the old tabernacle, and coming to the Holy of Holies, which is now our spirit. So these are the things we come forward to.
It's a marvelous call and a real destination that God is bringing forward to us in this life study of Hebrews, program after program. Let's go back to Witness Lee for the conclusion of this life study.
One of the dear ones said he wouldn't be selfish waiting for the testament. Let me say a word. To take the testament is not something selfish. It's something for God to accomplish His eternal purpose. To take the testament is not something for you to enjoy something more. This view, sorry to say, is too low. For you to take the testament is for God to accomplish His eternal purpose. And God's eternal purpose could never be accomplished in another age other than the new covenant age, in another place other than the Holy of Holies. And God's eternal purpose could never be accomplished, fulfilled, without the throne of grace. And God's eternal purpose could never be fulfilled without God today sitting on the throne of grace in the Holy of Holies. In this new covenant age, we all have to see this. This is not merely for your salvation. This is not even so much ultimately for your glorification. I tell you, brothers, this is for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. Amen. And how could this be accomplished? By God being the very God sitting on the throne of grace in the Holy of Holies in such a new covenant dispensation. It is not just for you and for me. Sang him, he included us. But it is altogether for him to be expressed, for his eternal purpose to be accomplished. And this could only be done with these four things: the new covenant age, plus the Holy of Holies, plus the throne of grace, plus the very God sitting there. With these four things, his eternal purpose is being accomplished. If it is short of any one of these four, I tell you, there's no way, no possibility for God to accomplish his purpose. But we all have to know, not only the heathens, the pagans, are far away from these four things. Even the Judaizers, the Jewish people, who are holding on to the first part of this book of the wills, are far off from this. Even today, so many Christians are also far off from these four things. So there is a calling. Come forward. Come forward to God. Come forward to God. When you come forward to God, that means you come forward to the throne of grace. When you come forward to the throne of grace, that means you come forward to the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
And this also means you come forward to the new covenant age. Praise Him, we all are here.
Amen.
In the new covenant age.
Amen.
In the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Touching the throne of grace.
Amen.
Participating in the God sitting on this throne of grace. This is our position. And this is where we are. Are you still there around the altar?
No.
Lifting up your eyes to the cross and watching the one crowned with thorns. Where are you now? In the Holy of Holies. Touching the throne of grace.
Amen.
Looking at not the one crowned with thorns, but the one crowned with glory.
Amen.
Come forward to the new covenant age. Come forward to the Holy of Holies. Come forward to the throne of grace. Come forward to the very God today sitting on this throne. Once we get here, never take off.
Francis, the normal pattern of most of us as believers in Christ is to view salvation from our own perspective. In other words, what it means for us, what it means to me. But this ministry has a different pattern, and that is to continually point us to God's need, what God is after. We can look to the Christ on the cross and receive salvation for us, but for us to be in the accomplishment of something for God, we need much more than this, don't we?
Well, if we're to enjoy all that God has done and is doing for us and in our behalf, we surely need much more than just this initial salvation. Of course, what Christ accomplished on the cross was marvelous and really accomplished everything as far as God's holiness, righteousness, and glory is concerned. But there's much more in our enjoyment of Him based on this wonderful foundation that is ours by coming forward to all these items that we have mentioned. This coming forward is to bring us into another age and to bring us into the church of the firstborn, to bring us to our spirit. When we talk about coming forward to the Holy of Holies, we're talking about the New Testament revelation of the Holy of Holies. We're not talking about physically going into a tent and going through a process to get to the Holy of Holies, which was in the Old Testament. But we see that that is a picture of the New Testament experience of coming forward until we meet God face to face, until we see Him as He is. Of course, in this life, during this time, we have this experience in our spirit. But what He will do eventually will be to bring us to be where we see Him even as He is, and that means we will be like Him. So our coming forward is a matter of coming to God in our spirit, to coming to the reality of this present age, and not shrinking back to the old age, to the old law, but to come to the throne of grace, where we experience Him and get grace to help in every kind of need. Chris, I believe this is a marvelous thing that's been brought out to us in Hebrews, that we can come forward always to the church of the firstborn, to the universal gathering, and to the spirits of righteous men who have been made perfect, and most of all to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. We're in the new covenant, not in the old covenant. We must not shrink back.
Francis, I appreciated your passion and your feeling in this last section. That's really the essence of this call to come forward. It's not to call us to come to a church building or to come to some kind of better level of behavior as Christians. It's really for us to come forward to the very person of God himself in Christ.
Amen. I certainly agree with that, Chris.
It's more than marvelous. Thank you once again for your fellowship today, Francis, and we look forward to your coming back very soon.
Thank you very much.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.